Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
This is Home and Family Finance. I am your host, and what a pleasure to talk with you again for the next hour as we bring up some issues that we think are should be important to you. The whole idea of this program is to is based on financial literacy, to give you answers to questions that we all face from day to day. And probably most of us should have heard or learned or did know the answer, but sometimes we forgot. And so you let me know what's on your mind, and when you do that, I then try to fashion a program around what you think. But I always start the same way, and that's talking about you being financial. If I was going to rename the show anything, and this show was named initially Home and Family Finance by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association, I would have named this show Financially Fit with Paul Barry, okay, or Financially Fit with someone, because that's what this is all about. If I can get you to understand the importance of always being financially fit, I promise you, you will think well of me and your life will go better. And what do I mean by being financially fit? Primarily, I mean, are you making more than you spend? Ask yourself that question. Are you making more money than you spend, or are you spending more than you make? If you are, you're not financially fit. Number two, do you have at least 6 months of survival funds in your savings account? Now listen to this. I want you to add up everything it costs you on a monthly basis to live, whatever it is. Add that total up, and I want you to put that amount away and do it. I don't care how long it takes you to get this done, but end up with 6 months of what I call survival funds. They're there. They're not to be touched. Now, they can grow. You can put them in a growth fund, and I hope you do. Make as much as you can on it. But you are never to touch that money unless and until something untoward happens. You lose a job or you lose a loved one or something that really impacts your ability to make an income. At that point, you know that you and your family are okay because you're sitting on 6 months of survival funds. You know you can pay your bills for 6 months. I can't even begin to tell you how good that feels and how glad you'll be that you've done this. Put that away. Trust me, put it away. I also want you to put away 3 months of what I call emergency funds. Now, the difference with emergency funds is it's not your survival doesn't depend upon this. Perhaps your children need something, they lose a job and they need money from you, or a friend or somebody else in the family needs something, and you have some emergency money that you can share, or something comes up in your life that's outside of your normal cost. You've got that emergency fund sitting there. And that, again, neither of these funds are to be touched until and unless you need them. And finally, the real issue here, I think, is that you have to save at least 5% of everything you ever make. 5% of your weekly or monthly income, every payday. No excuses. No, well, I would have, but I nothing. Every payday, pay yourself first. Put aside 5% of that income. Now, what would you be at the end of that? You, sir or madam, will be financially fit. That's what we're talking about when I say, are you financially fit? That means that you're ready to exercise whatever drama comes up in your life, and we know that life has plenty of drama. One of the things that came up in our lives, all of our lives, or it seems like it, is the business with Equifax. Yes, okay. Can you believe that the company that sets out to rate you has somebody crashes into it? What do you call it, Peter, when you break into it? What is that? They hacking. They hack Equifax. How is that possible? 140 million Americans or more are hacked by someone into, and so that they now have your, whoever did this can have your social security number, your address, your name, all of the things that allow them to get to your money and get to you. But you can, there's a way out of this, or at least a way to help you get out of this. And my first guest today will be talking about that very thing. And I'm glad because, you know, this is not the first time. For the last 4 weeks, we've had something to say about the Equifax breach. Brian Karimzad is the vice president of research for credit cards, which is, well, he'll tell us a little bit more about that. Let's bring him in here and meet him. Brian, welcome to Home and Family Finance.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm so happy to have you here. I know you've got results of a survey, but tell us what your company is and why you guys even decided to put the survey out.
Yeah, comparecards.com by LendingTree is a site where you can go and compare the benefits, rates, and terms for many of the credit cards on the market from
right.
the top issuers across the country. And LendingTree is a service that lets people compare rates for mortgages, auto loans, use calculators to see what they can really afford when they're out borrowing or getting a new home.
Right, right. So this is in your wheelhouse. I mean, this is what your business is. And when you heard about this breach, what was your reaction to it?
Well, you know what? The reaction is I hope people live their lives assuming like something like this has already happened.
Right.
You know, you really just should live, and it's unfortunate it has to be this way, but it is. But kind of live under the assumption that your Social Security number is already out there in the hands of someone with bad intentions.
Wow.
And you know, there are ways to mitigate that risk and, you know, steps that you can take that you can live that way. But what we found is typically it's inaction on our own part. That's part of the problem here. And so if you make that assumption, you know, live with the, okay, you know what, someone probably has my Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's just try to make sure they don't get access to the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That sets you up for a more secure environment.
So, but what you're suggesting here is that you have to assume that that your information is out there. And somebody can, if they want to, get to you, depending upon, I guess, how easy it seems or it appears to them.
That's right. I mean, you should be outraged, you know, that something like the Equifax breach happened. But you know, while you're, you know, calling your congressman and, you know, and making your voice heard to enact some change, you should also, you know, be protecting yourself. And, you know, we did a survey of people after the Equifax breach just to get a sense of what people are actually doing to protect themselves. And unfortunately, a lot of us are doing it kind of halfway. You know, we're not going as far as we can or should.
In terms of the survey brings it up. Now, let me I want to hear what the survey. Let me take a break here. And then when we come back, you'll learn what you should be doing. And why and where you are. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about, or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
We're talking about the Equifax breach. And let me just say, folks, I'm calm about this, but I'm not very calm about it. I'm outraged that a company like Equifax, one of the three credit reporting, we can't make this kind of mistake to them. I mean, you couldn't. And here this company is breached by someone, more than 170 million people. Their information is out there in the public because Equifax didn't do its job. So now you have to do what you can do. And my guest is Brian Karimzad, who is the vice president of research at LendingTree, one of their subsidiaries there. And they did an interesting thing. They did a survey of 1,000 American adults who report having a credit or debit card. The survey was conducted in September after this breach was made public. And Brian, what did the survey tell us? And what can we do to protect ourselves? Those two very important questions.
It told us that not enough of us are doing basic free things to protect ourselves. So, you know, I think there are four major ways to protect yourself. One is credit alerts on your accounts to tell you when there's something suspicious going on.
How does that work? How does that work?
So that is, you got to deal with account by account. You know, you got your bank account with your bank. You on their website or on the app can set up alerts that will either email you or text you or send you a phone alert that there has been a transaction made on your account. And you can set a threshold, you know, $300, you know, $500, $1,000. Let me know whenever something happens. That way, when you see that alert, if it's not familiar to you, you know something's wrong. And you're getting first notice that, okay, I need to check on things and check my other accounts. It's usually a free service. Most of the banks and credit unions out there have this in some way, shape, or form. And the challenge is only 25% of us have set up alerts on all of our accounts, both credit and debit cards. You really need to do it on all of them because the fraudsters, right, you know, sure, they might go after the account you use a lot and you're always paying attention to.
Right.
But we all have a few accounts that are kind of dormant out there, right? That old credit card that's in the drawer or maybe, you know, you got your emergency fund, right, may have a debit card. You're not using your emergency fund daily. And they may go after that.
Mm-hmm.
You might not notice it until you get your statement. And by then, you know, you're on
money's
the hook
gone.
More.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Money's gone. And there's two types of fraud, right, to be aware of. One is the, you know, someone opens new accounts in your name. You know, that's a nuisance. It can impact your credit score if they make late payments or things like that, right? The other one is what's called account takeover. That's when someone actually accesses your account and steals from it. And your personal accounts with money in them, you're checking your savings accounts. Those are some of the hardest ones to deal with, right? Because you need those day to day to pay your bill.
Right, right.
The credit card, if someone steals from that, it's a hassle, but that's not money coming out of your bank account. And you call up your credit card company and you work it out with them and you're not paying for those charges because they're fraudulent. But when it comes out of your checking or savings account, it's gone. And you got to work with the bank to get it back. And that can take time and you got bills with that.
Wow. This is just, it's scary. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the percentages of those who have never put a freezer on their account. And again, what I want you to know what you can do. Look, you've got to go to work here. You got to protect yourself. And Brian is here to tell you what you have to do. But this is not, oh, let somebody else do it. It's your money. It's your credit. And it could be your loss. We'll be right back. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I am your host, Paul Berry. I'm glad to be with you. We're talking about the problems that that the nation, all of us in this nation, are having with the Equifax breach. Some 170 million Americans are somewhere in there. Who knows? 170 million too many. But what can you do to protect yourself? My guest is Brian Kareem. He is the Vice President of Research at LendingTree. And he's telling us what you can do. First of all, you've got to do something. You've got to just check with to find out the, if in fact everything is safe. You can do your credit alerts, but there are some other things that you need to do, including what is protecting the PIN. What does that mean, Brian?
Well, so 60% of people in our survey have not changed their PIN code in the last year, and 30% of people have never changed it since the bank issued it. This is really basic, okay? Yeah, because fraudsters, they like to use ATMs for theft, and that's money direct out of your account. They use combinations of information to get in there. It's really simple to change your PIN. I'd say at minimum, when you do your taxes, think, okay, this is the time I'm going to go get in touch with my bank and change my PIN on my ATM cards.
Right.
Take care of that.
And they do it in just a few minutes, right? It's no long, drawn-out process. Okay.
Exactly. You don't have to change your car. Yeah, no.
Right.
Yeah.
What about credit freezes? Is that another way that we can protect ourselves, right?
It is. It's probably less important than the other two. That one prevents people from opening new accounts in your name. And yes, it's a way to lock out people from opening new accounts because it says to the credit bureaus, okay, don't let anyone pull my credit information. It's an inconvenience because if you want to open an account yourself, you got to unfreeze it and then freeze it back. But it is something out there that's an option if you're truly concerned about someone opening new accounts.
Okay, well, let's get to the one that we all see advertised, and that is LifeLock or whatever it's called or something like that. Is this worthwhile in terms of, you know, what credit monitoring, I guess, what it amounts to?
You want to be careful on that one. You know, setting up good alerts on all your accounts is a great step. What credit monitoring can do is, one, they can monitor some stuff out on the internet that might be lurking. The other thing that they can be good at is resolving issues when they happen. Because it takes a lot of time and legwork when something does happen to get it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have insurance policies and specific steps that they will take for you to actually handle resolving things. So, you know, I don't have specific names to recommend, but I think it's worth doing some pretty serious research before you sign up for one, because there are some that do less than others.
So you have options. You have some options.
You got options. Yep, exactly.
Okay, now I can hear them screaming at me now. Is how do we reach out to Brian to get find out more? Is there some where they can contact you or your company or?
Yeah, you know, at comparecards.com, there is a Ask Our Credit Expert section on the side of each article.
Okay.
You can ask a question there, or at the bottom of any of the pages, you can leave comments there and ask questions.
All right, and give us that address again. What is it?
Comparecards.com for
okay.
Compare Cards by LendingTree.
Okay, you can do that, folks, if you want to learn more. Again, as I said to you, don't do nothing. You got to do something here. I mean, it's your credit. It's your money, and don't, you know, I know you think the bank, well, the bank, of course they care about you, but they've got a lot of folks out there, and they may overlook your account, and if somebody's playing around there in your account, you want to know that. How likely is this to happen again, Brian, or is this just a one-time, I'm still very angry at them for this, quite frankly.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to happen again with this particular bureau, but there will be others with large data providers. That's just the world we're in right now.
Overall, I mean, are we, how do I put this, are we now more susceptible than we've ever been before?
You know, it's hard to say because we're also more aware of what happened. I mean, back in, you know, on myself, the first fraud I encountered was someone when I moved. Picked up an old bill out of the mail and changed the address on it, and I never saw the bills again. And guess what? They didn't pay that bill, and my credit score got tanked. So there's always been fraud of some sort. I think it's just more visible on both ends now.
Yeah, and we as a society, you know, we like all of these things. We like the iPhone. We like the ability to reach out. We like to be able to touch people, to see people, to do whatever, talking about it. But with that comes a realization, I think, that you've got to be more careful. You've got to look out for yourself.
You do. I mean, convenience, the more convenient you make something for you, the more convenient it's going to be for a fraudster.
Just that simple. I'm just amazed at how easy it is for these guys, or maybe it's not. Maybe what I should say is how sophisticated they have become. Is that a better way to describe them?
I think it is. You know, yeah. We have more information, and so do they.
Golly.
Yeah, they've become much more sophisticated.
Ryan, what a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you for further helping us alert my listeners to the fact that they need to do something. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
You bet.
All right, a pleasure to have you on the show. Coming up next, can you keep it together? The marriage, the love, coming up next.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
You know, I got a wonderful solicitation for the show. A new book that is out called Make Love, Make Money, Make It Last, 10 Secrets to Shape a Great Marriage. Now, the thing that came to my mind about that, my son is home from Bangkok, Thailand, and he came in last Wednesday, and he brought with him his intended, a lovely young lady. She's Thai. And they will be getting married on the 12th of December in Bangkok. And my wife and I are flying over there. And we're in our 30th year as of November. So when I received this book, folks, it offered to me two people that experience what half of the folks that get married won't. A lasting, loving relationship. Because almost 50% of marriages fail.
Right.
No one knows that any more than Dr. Willie Jolly and his lovely wife, Dee Taylor Jolly, both educated, wonderful people who somehow have found the secret of longevity. And I said, you guys have got to come in here and share this with me.
Good to be here, and I'm grateful. And for those who know me, I know I always thought I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but an eternity is in it. So I'm grateful for this minute to be on with you, Paul.
And it is my pleasure.
Have you been listening to this for 30 years?
Well, 37.
37
years. We've been together, yes.
Well, neither one of you like a day over 30.
I love you. I love that.
Whatever you all have got, I want some of it because it's working. Not only have you been together for a long time, but you look good too.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we're very grateful. We've been married. We've been together 37, but we've been married for going on 33. And we haven't had an argument in over 30 years.
Oh, Lordy. Oh,
and
Lordy.
That is the part that is.
Have we got any truth serum back there?
I know that's hard to believe. It doesn't mean that we don't disagree. We've learned how to disagree without being disagreeable.
Isn't that so important?
And that's a skill.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And marriage is skill-based.
But marriage is respect-based, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, if what you've said, and I know it's true, works for you, it's because you respect each other.
Absolutely.
I can disagree with you. I don't have to be disagreeable. I don't have to be ugly. And you're going to listen to what my point of view is. I'm going to listen to you.
Right. That's exactly right. So what we have found is, let me say, somebody asked us, we were in Portland, Oregon the other day and doing an interview. They said, you mean you've never argued? I said, I didn't say that. I said, we haven't had an argument in 30 years. Those first couple of years were World War III.
You want to tell the story of the Chinese food just quickly?
Yeah.
So we fell apart over Chinese food. But it wasn't really the food. It's what it represented.
Go ahead.
And for me, it was disrespect because my husband is cheap.
Correct.
And we were having a party.
There's no question
about that. Of family members. And I wanted to impress my brother and his wife.
Okay.
Coming to D.C., newly married. And my husband is cheap. And he said, we have X number of dishes that we're going to buy. So in the midst of the Chinese carry out counter, we start to disagree as to what is acceptable to have for this dinner.
Okay. Now
I said, you're cheap. He said, we only need X dishes. That's not enough. You will embarrass us. And it got louder, and he got louder, and he got louder. And I said, I will leave you because I don't like the way that you're speaking.
He wasn't being respectful.
Exactly.
So, now let me give some more context.
Here we go.
Everything she said is right. But she's not a Chinese food person. She doesn't even hardly eat Chinese food. But I knew her brother liked Chinese food. So I said, we'll go to my favorite Chinese restaurant where they get big portions. I know four entrees, big portions, enough. She said, no, we need double that. I said, we'll waste food. We'll throw away food. We don't need that. She said, no, I won't want to look like I'm cheap. I don't want to look like we're being chinchy. I said, we only need four. She said, we need more. When it got escalated till she said, I will leave you. At which point, I said, okay, I'll get whatever you want.
He was very wise.
I was
a wise man.
I said, I'll get whatever you want.
You heard the key here, didn't you?
I said, I got a lesson there. And so I bought it, and I was right.
He was right. It was too much.
We wasted half the food. And then that night after they had left, I said, well, now let's talk about today. And we talked about it, and she said, I don't like people raising their voice at me. My daddy didn't do it. My brother never did it. I don't like people raising my voice. And I said, I don't like people threatening me to leave me.
Wow.
I said, so we put one event each or one issue or each on the table and said, we will never go there.
Okay.
It's called below the belt issues.
Right.
That's really how we started in terms of how do we learn to deal with each other? We do love each other.
No question about that.
But how do we deal respectfully?
Right. So rules of engagement.
Yes.
And once we got the rules of engagement.
And that's what we call it, the rules of engagement.
And so in 30 plus years now, I've never raised my voice. She's never threatened to leave me. And we've been able to deal with our issue.
That's
but there's some more issues in there. So I want to give everybody a gift, because we've found that this is one of the biggest problems with marriage is how you disagree. And people stonewall, they shut down, they call each other names, it gets ugly. So go to jollymarriage.com, get that chapter on disagreeing.
It's free.
It's free. Go get it downloaded, jollymarriage.com, and read it. And both of you read it together.
And may I say it's jolly, J-O-L-L-E-Y. The E is for enthusiasm.
you guys have done this before, haven't you?
Once or twice.
I think Peter, my engineer, I'm in the hands of experts here, Peter. I'm just going to let this ride and let's see what happens. You know, yeah, I got this, guys. I got this. Well, the book, of course, which is not free and is available to you, but we'll go to do the email thing, but you can also go to the book, Make Love, Make Money, Make It Last, 10 Secrets to Shape a Great Marriage. When we come back, we'll talk more about why they figured this out and how it can help you and what you should be doing, what you should be thinking.
And the three big problems: sex, money, and communication. We'll talk about it.
We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest, Dr. Willie Jolly and his beautiful wife of more than 30 years, Dee Taylor Jolly. They have been married for more than 30 years. And they now have a new book telling you how they did it. When we were last talking, you brought up something very important.
Yes.
Sex.
Sex.
Yes, I heard that. Yes, I heard that.
Yeah.
And a couple of other things as well. So let's talk about getting through this. I mean, it's not my business, but has Dee ever used sex as a weapon?
Well, that's a great question. And the answer is no. Because her mama taught her a lesson that another friend said it more aptly, but we have a chapter in the book called Sex, Headaches, and Other Lies.
All right, hold on now, because I want to hear about sex, headaches, and other lies, but I want to turn to Dee, because otherwise my phone will run off the hook if I don't ask Dee. Has he ever used?
Absolutely not, because I know how to handle him.
Go on with yourself.
So
it is about handling. As I tell people, you manage things, but you handle people. And the most important person that you handle is your mate. And so I study him. And we talk about that in the book, just in terms of what his needs, his wants and needs are. So he talks about sex. Sex is an integral part of our relationship. But he says sex, I say intimacy. Uh-huh. Because women see it differently. We, at the end of the day, we want the same things. It's just packaged a
How
little differently.
Okay.
So when I say intimacy, sweet talking, he sends me little notes, he kisses me. We actually work in the same space, across the hall from each other.
Okay.
But he is kind, he's gentle, and he uses words which are very influential to me and I think for many females. So by the end of the day, at the close of the 6 o'clock hour, mm-hmm. when he is no longer my boss and he is my mate, mm-hmm. he gets sex at the end of the day because he has connected to me throughout the day, warm, loving, kind, thoughtful. In terms of my conversations with women, they will say, well, sometimes my husband will simply tap me on the back in the evening and say, okay, roll over, I want some.
Yeah.
That is not the way
to get
what he wants. So we have worked it out in terms of what works in terms of each getting what they want in the relationship.
I tell gentlemen, if you want to get some action at night, you better start in the morning.
That's an amen.
So the name of the chapter is Sex, Headaches, and Other Lies, and it was built on a conversation I had, which you talked about the weapon. We don't use sex as a weapon.
No.
We talk about it in there, never use sex as a weapon. But the old adage, I got a headache tonight. Well, a friend of mine, Jane Herlong, said something to me one day when we went to her home to visit. Her mama told her on her wedding day, she said, baby, never use that lie that you have a headache. Because when you tell that lie that you have a headache, understand there's a woman somewhere with an aspirin in her pocketbook. And so the whole chapter, though, Dee kind of touched on it. Men, listen carefully. Men who are listening to this, listen carefully. Women need two things, and they are critical. Intimacy and security.
Yes.
Now, you cannot have security without respect. You can't have that security without consideration. They want to be secure. Now, women, listen carefully. Men need two things, respect and sex. Critical.
Which one comes first?
I don't know.
You know, but it does raise an interesting point here. I hear that because I think it's so important. We use the term intimacy.
Yes.
It can mean different things to different people.
That's right.
Okay, so tell me what intimacy means to you, to Dee.
It's more than just the sex. It is understanding. It's being thoughtful. It's all of those things that make someone want to be close or get closer to that person.
So it's
talking, it's questioning, it's wanting to learn more about the person. It's inquiring so you can understand them better.
Making you feel important in his life.
Exactly. So if you are listening to me and communicating, and in communicating, part of that is actually listening. That's a very important part, mm-hmm. because you cannot respond effectively if you have not really listened. Question for clarity of, is that what you were actually saying?
Dee is telling us what intimacy means to her in this relationship. When we come back, we'll ask Dr. Woolley what intimacy means to him.
And we got to talk about that money, too.
And we got to talk about cash.
That's
cash,
right.
Cash is, what do they say?
Cash is king?
No. Cash is king.
And no romance without finance.
This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. We'll be right back. Family Finance. We have a wonderful two people here in the studio. They have authored a new book called Make Love, Make Money, Make It Last. And if you're even contemplating marriage, or if you're already married, or you're somewhere in between, it's probably something that you ought to just get a hold of and look at. 10 Secrets to Shape a Great Marriage. I forget how many marriages I read. Look that up, folks. Half of them, whatever that number is, in the millions will not last.
Right.
And it won't last because it doesn't have, it misses their ingredients that are necessary. You know, if you don't put baking powder in a cake, I don't care how good it is, it's not going to rise.
That's right.
You know, it's
That's
never right. going to rise. Now, I found out what intimacy meant over here. What does intimacy mean to you?
Well, it means making her happy. Okay? happy life. Okay, happy man. That's the plan. Okay,
yeah,
so
okay.
Now before we go further, I want to make sure people know that this book is not available on Amazon. It is exclusively at jollymarriage.com because of a specific reason. We want people to buy two copies, one for each significant part of the relationship, each spouse or your significant other. So you can read it at the same time. What people usually do, get one book and then they read it and then they hand it over. But we want them to read it at the end of each chapter, talk about it. So that's why we weren't able to make that deal with Amazon so that they could get two at a time.
We want them to be on the same page.
On the same page. And give them a discount because of that, because we really want to save a million marriages and enhance mm-hmm. a million marriages. So we put it on a special site, jollymarriage.com. We encourage everybody to go there, get the free chapter, and then get two copies. And there's a special section in there for singles, for people who are not yet married. And we encourage you to get two copies as well. We were at a place not long ago. A lady said, she came out and she said, I need my two copies because my husband's on the way. I said to my wife, I said, hey, her husband's on the way. Let's do it real quick. She said, no, he's not picking me up. I don't have a husband yet, but he on the way.
Well, I think, I've let that continue because you just committed the cardinal sin.
Uh-oh.
I ask you a question.
And
You pivoted. You didn't answer my question. You went right to selling your book show. I will either sell your book or I will not. Not you on my show. Now, let me go back to the basic question.
Yes.
What does intimacy mean?
Well, literally. Mm-hmm. Men think of sex and respect, and that's truly how men think. And then women think of intimacy and security. So my whole job, I kind of answered it. I just did it quickly and say that my job is to make sure she feels secure and intimate. Okay. And that is my full job. I think about it all day long. I take her a smoothie when I go out, or I'll take her. I know she's busy.
And he does a great job.
And you're being intimate with her.
I'm creating an atmosphere, an environment for her to feel comfortable, so that night she is saying to me,
I'm ready and willing.
Okay, which is so important. Yes. And people don't know how to get there. Instead of getting there, they get angry.
That's right.
You know, our tendency is, well, she knows what I'm after.
Right, that's
how
exactly.
Come she's not. Right. That's just so ridiculous.
But that's, you know, that's why this book, and let me tell you one other thing. We interviewed, this book is not just our thoughts. We interviewed people who've been married 40, 50, and 60 years, and we found that the principles were consistent. And so we encourage people to read the principles that will keep marriages together.
They validated what you're living every day. What about this money business? Money, some people say, you know.
Marriage is also a business.
Yeah, okay.
And so we bring to that relationship your bills, his bills, and how you view money. There are three ways that people get to how they view money. One pot, two pot, three pot. We've kind of developed that as we've interviewed people. Mm-hmm. So how you manage your money is based on age and stage of when you came together as a married couple.
Hmm. Right. If you come together brand new out of college, out of high school, and get married, you have nothing, then you typically have one pot.
You manage it differently because you really do believe it's ours as opposed
That's
to...
That's right, because you don't have anything.
You don't have anything. You're building from ground zero. Right. Now, second way we see was people who had something, and they tend to be split the bills down the middle. And we call that Michelle Singletary, who also is in the interview for the book for The Color of Money Finance. She said that's like a roommate. But we recommend number three, which is for us.
Yes.
People who are older, who came with something, it's a one pot, his pot, kind of her pot, but they have a couple pot. But everybody is on every account.
Give me your website again so people know.
JollyMarriage.com, JollyMarriage.com. And please send us an email at info@WillieJolly.com and say, I heard you on Paul Barry Show. We'll send you a digital gift. info@WillieJolly.com.
Make love, make money, make it last. Thank you both for being
Thank
on the
you.
Show.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you for writing the book.
All right.
Let's come back later and see how it's doing. How
That's
we're doing.
Right.
Okay.
Great. That'd we'll be perfect.
It. Folks, it's been a pleasure. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. See you then. And hey, make it last.